This is Seeking the Calm with Shane Dennis.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the podcast. I'm going to try to get through this one. I am not feeling well at the moment, which is rare. I haven't gotten sick in a long time. I got food poisoning last summer, and that was followed by like a chest infection with a cough. I guess because my immune system was just, you know, so crappy. Ended up getting sick, and it took about like a week for me to recover from that, and that sucked. But right now, I'm just like, I felt my throat getting drier in the back. I've been running my diesel heater like every day, all day, and it gets super dry in here. I got to get like a humidifier or some, you know, cough drops or something I can suck on and produce some saliva. But yeah, it just started getting real dry, and I felt like this little tickle in the back. Sure enough, woke up the next morning, had this little cough, and it's been getting worse. I just took some ibuprofen. That's all I had. So hopefully that relieves a little bit of it, and then I can get down to the store and get some proper cold medicine. It's giving me kind of like a headache just because I'm so stuffed up. I can't breathe out of my nose. But it's not that bad. I'm going to use it as my excuse if I cough or if I mess up during this podcast. That's my excuse. No, it's not. It's actually what I wanted to talk about. People finding things and latching on to things, and basically use them as excuses on why they're not living a full life. And it's a sad thing to say. And I was just watching this reel on Instagram. Let me see if I could pull it up. Yeah, it was basically, it went away. It was basically that guy, Sadhguru, and he was talking about trauma, and another guy was asking about trauma, and Sadhguru was basically explaining it as you're finding an excuse with why you are the way you are that you don't like about yourself, and you pretty much, you carry your wound like a badge, is basically what he was saying. And when something unpleasant happens to you, you have a choice. You can either be wise or you can be wounded. Now, let's break that down a little bit. Because some people are born into traumas. Some people have traumas that are, you know, bestowed on them at a young age, that they can't control at that age. And they basically have to grow up and learn how to not live in that space anymore. And I guess an example I would use would be, I dated this girl, in my late 20s who worked at a prison with sex offenders. I mean, like, we're talking like the worst of the worst. And she's a counselor, like she's talking to these people one-on-one and like learning their stories and stuff. And some of the things that have happened to these people are absolutely horrific. You almost say like, no wonder why they turned out the way they were. But we have to stop and think, those people had a choice. There was one story that she was telling me about how the parents would take the young kids, brothers and sisters, into the woods behind the house and film them and make them have sex with each other. Like, we're talking the most vile, fucked up things that you could ever do to children. And these people would grow up and they would become, you know, sex offenders. And then they basically, what they would teach is that this happened to you. It's not okay. You have attraction to young children now, but you have to learn how to not act on that. So it's basically like a rehab for them to, you know, they have those feelings, but they're not, they have to learn how to control them and not act on them, which, I mean, there's a lot there. but anyway, all of these people regardless of their circumstances. They have a choice. They can become what was bestowed upon them. They can become those people, or they could use it to help people like themselves, and really become something from it. And I know trauma, and I know pain, and I know how it carries with you. And it's basically, sometimes it's on a different level where you can't really control it because your body chemistry is so out of whack. You may be in like fight or flight, or, you know, your body may still be in shock, and you're not in a place to deal with that trauma and to get over it. And I know exactly how that is. Spent years in the same place where I was just carrying my trauma and cycling it in and out of my life, in and out of relationships, in and out of friendships. And where I was, there were so many triggers, and I couldn't heal. My body literally could not heal. Everywhere I went, you know, reminded of this, you know, driving on the road, it would remind me of this. Every time I start my car, it would remind me of this. And it lived inside of me. And then eventually, I got out on the road, I started traveling, and that's when I really started healing those traumas and addressing them and bringing them forward to the surface. And I was like, wow, I have to change that, because that's going to keep me from, you know, being a good person, or that's going to keep me from having successful relationships in life, or, you know, or that's going to keep me from not making money. I mean, down to the point where I would notice my patterns in life and I would be like, wow, when I'm in a good place is when I'm really making money. But when I'm in a bad place is when I'm really struggling, and when I, you know, got to find something else to do. So like when I'm at my best is when I perform my best. And that's why I'm not rushing my healing process. I'm not rushing anything. I'm really taking my time with it, because I know eventually this will benefit me in the end. And I can use it as my, not as badge, but, you know, as something that happened to me that was unfortunate, but I turned it into a good thing. And look what I did now. And that ultimately, I think, should be the end goal. Whether it is, you know, you make something of yourself, you become successful, or if you're helping other people. Like, we'll create this imaginary scenario, but this does happen to people. Like, imagine you're raped by someone. You can either go into this deep, dark shell. I mean, I know people, like, I'm sure people have done drugs after that, and so just to cope with everything. But then there are also other people who have turned around and to help victims like themselves and help them get out of that place that they were in. So that's kind of what I'm doing with this podcast. I'm going to kind of tell my story a little bit, talk about where I was and then how I got out of it. If you've listened to my podcast before, there's an episode called My Car Accident, where I go into really deep details about it and like before and after and how it affected my life. But I'm just going to go over it briefly. Basically, I just graduated high school. I was dating this girl. I had my whole life ahead of me. And one night just completely changed everything. I was in this car accident. And the girl that was in the other car, they had to airlift her. It was really bad. They told me she wasn't going to make it on the side of the road. She did end up pulling through, and that's, you know, obviously I'm happy about that. But then what came afterwards was just, it messed up my life for over a decade. I was basically sued for $1 million, and I spent all of my, like, weekends, depositions, like, talking to lawyers, like, opening my door, like, you've been served. Like, it was just, nobody, when they get out of high school, should have to go through that being blamed for something, you know, in bold letters on a letter from the state of New Jersey, Shane Dennis is responsible for the bodily injury of Rosalind M. Hill. Like, that stays with you, seeing that you're responsible for the bodily injury to someone when it actually was not your fault. But you know what? It was my fault. I used all these excuses, like, try to convince myself in my head that it wasn't my fault because, you know, I was in the right lane. She basically came out of the rest area, cut across two lanes, and ran me off the road. But there was a moment where I could have braked, and I did it. And me taking responsibility was my first step to an honest recovery, rather than just playing the victim. And like, gosh, it lived inside of me. I wanted to tell everyone about my experience, what I went through. I wanted people to feel sorry for me. I would see people that I haven't seen in years, and I'd be like, yeah, and I'd automatically start talking about it. If I was in a conversation with somebody, I'd look for ways to weave it into the conversation. And then I was basically just like living this victim mentality, like, this terrible thing happened to me, and this is why the way I am. And nobody should live like that. Honestly, it's not a way to live. You don't grow. You don't go anywhere. You literally stand in the same position. So, me finally taking responsibility for it, even though, you know, if you break it down and stuff, it was not my fault. But I had to take responsibility for it in order to grow. And sometimes you just have to do that in life. And there's only one way to change your circumstances, is by taking control. So that's what I had to do. I had to say, okay, this is my fault. And then I think that's what a good leader would do regardless. Like, if they had a team and something went wrong, instead of blaming the other teammates, they're just going to go, okay, I'm the leader. I'm taking responsibility for this. This is my fault that this happened. And then they can move on from it, rather than just like sitting around bickering, arguing back and forth. And that's kind of what I had to do. And I carried this car accident around with me for well over 10 years. It affected so many of my relationships. It affected my relationship with my parents, even, because they didn't understand what I was going through. And I just kept everything to myself, and I really didn't talk about it. I started getting therapy for it about 4 years after it happened. And then I was going to counseling for, you know, over 5 years, and then other counseling and, you know, other stuff too, just to deal with it. But my real healing started when I got out on the road and my problems started following me across the country. And I was just like, finally, I was like, okay, I need to really take control of my life and start healing in these areas so I can live a fulfilled life. Sure, I could go out and get, you know, build a log cabin somewhere in the middle of the woods and just live by myself and be happy and have dogs and, you know, all that crap. But I was missing having like long lasting relationships, you know, from the PTSD of the car accident and all that stuff. I was pushing everyone out of my life, and then things were happening to me. Like, I had pushed I was dating this girl in high school. We got in the car accident together. We were dating for 2 years, and I pushed her out of my life. And her response was to go out and sleep with my best friend. So then I ended up losing my best friend from when I was 8 years old. You know, he was my best friend for 10 years and 11 years. And I just played the fucking victim. I was just like, man, she freaking cheated on me. She did this to, you know, my best friend cheated on me. And I carried all this shit. And then one day it just hit me, because I had saw my friend my, you know, he's not my friend anymore. If we see each other, we'd stay high and stuff, and, you know, we'll hug and stuff. It's not like I hate the guy, but I see him living a fulfilled life and like having fulfilled relationships and good relationships and stuff. And I'm like, that's not happening to me. I'm like, what the fuck? And then it hit me and I was like, holy shit. I'm like, I'm carrying around this, you know, hatred and this. So I don't know what I wanted. I guess I wanted him to just be really sorry and to apologize and be sorry about what he did to me. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, the only person that can truly grant forgiveness is God, whether you believe in him or not. And then it hit me and I was like, holy shit. I was like, what if he asked God for forgiveness years ago and he's living this good life now and I'm still carrying all this bullshit? And then that pissed me off. And I was like, oh my God, dude, you've literally been, this is a choice. I was like, you've been making yourself suffer for all these years because of stuff that happened to you and you're carrying it around like a fucking badge. It's ruining all of your relationships, all of your friendships, everything. And when I started looking at it in that perspective, in that different way, is when the change really started to happen. And I remember this one time I was talking to this person. She was probably, you know, close to 40, so she had a little bit more wisdom than me. And she was asking me about my hometown. And I was talking about New Jersey, and I was just like, basically, like, yeah, everyone's, like, miserable there. They're all just, like, they're all mean to each other, like, driving there. There's road rage everywhere. And she was basically, like, she said straight up, she goes, wow, that's a choice. And it hit me and I was like, holy shit. I was like, that is a choice, because I've been living somewhere else for the last 3 years and people don't act like that, you know, where we drive. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, that is a choice, you know, like in New Jersey, the way people drive, they get cut off, they cut somebody else off, and it just keeps repeating and keeps happening to themselves until one day, if everyone just decides, hey, let's drive a little slower and be nice to each other on the road, you would start to see some real changes going on. But that all starts with like one person, and then, you know, it's got to be like this chain reaction. Instead, everyone's just taking their shit out on each other. And, you know, I experienced that with my mother growing up and her taking out her trauma on the kids, and ended up her kind of missing out on me growing up and helping me grow up and become a man. She was off just worried about fixing herself and being happy. And it really, you know, it affects our relationship to this day, unfortunately. My mom had kind of peaced out when I finally got my license. She stopped coming home. She moved in with her boyfriend. And I basically was a reckless kid. And, you know, my junior year, my senior year in high school, I lived in this house that I grew up in all by myself. My brother had his own apartment. My sister was away at college. And I was a junior in high school. My dad lived at his girlfriend's and my mom lived at her boyfriend's. They were in like this competition to see who could get happier first, who can get married first, and like all this bull crap. And meanwhile, I'm all by myself at this house, and, you know, it was not ideal. At the time, I thought it was ideal because I was like, sweet, I get to have parties and smoke pot and like do whatever I want. But that's not what a 17-year-old kid should have been doing. I'll never forget when I went to my friend's house, who actually played professional football. I forget what team he was on. I think he was on like the Dolphins and shit. But I remember opening up his fridge and seeing all these Tupperware containers, and they all had labels on them. And I was like, and I started like reading them, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, these are your meals? And they're literally just stacks of Tupperware container, all of his meals and what time he should eat them at. His mom was just, she was a part of every step of the way for him to make it into the NFL. And I just thought in my head, I was like, man, I was like, no one ever talked to me about college and shit. My mom was like, I'm not paying for college for you. Straight up said that. She's like, I didn't get to go to college. And I was just like, man, if someone had just put a little bit of effort into me, like, I could have moved mountains. But I could have moved mountains without them regardless. That was my choice to carry that around and carry that, you know, ooh, my mom left me that bullshit around. Like, if I could go back and change it, would I change it? No, I would not. I would not change anything that happened to me because I am exactly how I would want my older self to be. I wasn't always there, but every day we're moving closer and closer to that person that I always imagined myself as. And that was from owning my trauma and not letting it dictate or control my life. And I was going through the comments on this video with Sad Guru that I was watching, and it was just all these people, and they're like, this is not right, blah blah blah, trauma is this, trauma is that. So, and like, really just like, they were all excuses and they were all being victims. And like, I was just like, man, I can't not do anything. I was like, I have to be someone that kind of opens up the eyes of people. Like, I was always like a disruptor and stuff. And if something wasn't right, I would always bring it to attention. You know, teachers didn't always like it. Principals didn't always like it. Coaches on like teams didn't always like it. But I was always so quick to point out the truth and express how, you know, this isn't right. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with this podcast. Kind of give you a few different insights into my experience and how I've overcome trauma and all that bullshit. And I'm not living with it anymore. You know, when I meet people, when I'm talking to people, my car accident doesn't come into mind. I don't even want to tell people about my car accident anymore, actually. I don't want them to know that that bullshit once existed in my life. Of course, it's something that I hold near and dear to my heart, and it will always be with me, but I am nowhere near what I was 10 years ago when I would talk about it. Yeah, just wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit and get into that. I know I haven't been doing podcasts in a while, and it's something that I would really love to revamp and bring back, but I only do them when I am feeling a certain way and in a certain moment. So I do apologize. I used to be very consistent with my podcast. They used to come out once a week. Sometimes I would have guests. My episodes would do so well, and like, it was really starting to grow, and I was getting to the point where I could make money off of them. And then I just kind of let everything go because I had a traumatic event happen in my life. I had to put my dog Bucky down, and I just kind of fell into this deep depression because I was like, you know what? I finally get really close with my dog, and he's finally good around other dogs and all this stuff. And then he loses his eyesight and his health just immediately declines, and he just becomes this other dog. And it was scary, and I had to make a choice, and it was the worst choice that I ever had to make. And something similar happened this summer. I lost my dog Millie, and I got Millie right after that car accident when I was 19. So she was with me through all of that shit, and like, I took a lot of my trauma out on her, and she has exposed me to so much of my trauma, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without her. And when I lost her, I could have been this sad boy. I could have went into this depression again. I could have not eaten and lost weight. And, you know, I was having intrusive thoughts. And I could have went in that direction. But I was like, you know what? I was like, I've been here so many times. I've stood here so many fucking times. And I don't want to go down that road again. I was like, I'm done with that shit. And it's not like I didn't deal with my feelings or deal with what was going on. It's just I chose not to go that direction. And I chose to take it a different way. And instead, every day I would go paddleboarding. You know, I would make I would literally force myself to eat good meals. And, you know, I went to work a day after. Like, it happened Saturday night. I had off Sunday, but I went to work Monday morning. You know, the old me would have taken off for like a week or two and just cried and been sad, but I pushed myself through those days. I would be inside a van doing electrical system, and I would just close the doors and so no one could see me, and I would fucking cry. And like, it was the worst fucking pain ever. Like, going into my bus at lunchtime to eat lunch and not seeing my dog there was the worst, and I was going through it all alone. But I chose not to let it turn me into what it has in the past. When I get into those dark places, when I go down those roads, and it is a choice if we want to go down there or not. It truly is a choice. And yeah. So things have been going good. Not really much going on besides what I've talked about in my last podcast. Every day is, you know, a new day. I have started to glance at, you know, puppies and different breeds, and but I'm taking my time with it. I don't want to rush into anything, and I'm just kind of figuring out, because I'm a dog person, I need a dog in my life. It's just I don't like worrying about myself all day. Like, I like getting off work and I'll have to go take my dog for a run. I have to go, you know, feed my dog. Like, I like having something else besides myself to care about. I said it on a story one day. I was like, what do people with dogs just do all day? I was like, you just worry about yourselves all day? Because it was a really weird adjustment, only having to worry about myself. And I've learned that I'm not that person. I am a dog person. I like companions with me. I love, like, the moments I enjoy the most were walking behind Millie and just watching her walk, her little waddle with her little ass that would just rock back and forth. And that's where I got enjoyment in life. So I had this plan where I wasn't going to get a dog, and I was going to go travel, and I was going to go backpack and all that stuff. But you know what? Like, it's part of me. It's what makes me happy. So not going to try to avoid that anymore. I've been giving into it. I saw this puppy a few weeks ago, and the owner handed him off to me, and the puppy was probably like 10 weeks old maybe, and this thing just laid into me and was just breathing into me, and it was just so relaxed and calm, and I felt this like calmness come over my body, and I was like, I need this in my life. You know, so I have been checking out different dog breeds and what I want and what would be best for me, because I am a very active dog owner. I mean, I would take my dogs on miles and miles of runs and hikes on my one wheel or on a bike. And that's just always how we were. I wouldn't just take them around the block or walk them for a mile. Like, they would be dead by the end of their walks. And so I need a really active dog. I have a couple breeds in mind that I've been looking at, but I'm also leaving it up to fate as well. If something was to, you know, land on my lap or something, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But I don't want to rescue. It's just kind of sad to say, but I don't want to rescue a dog again. Like, I did that with Millie. I got her from Virginia. She was the runt of the litter, and when I walked in the basement, you could tell they were fighting dogs down there. They were keeping the biggest dogs, and so I didn't rescue her from an adoption agency, but I rescued her from, you know, potentially being a bait dog or something like that. And I ended up having puppies with Millie, and I had Bucky, which is the worst thing I ever did. I really regret it, because I don't know what happened to some of the dogs. So if you're going to be a breeder, you got to be breeding these dogs for a specific thing. And that's kind of leading me towards these hunting dogs, like pointers. And they're really well-trained dogs. And hunting is something that I've always wanted to get into. And like duck hunting, you know, bird hunting, all that stuff. And it would be really cool to start that journey off with a dog and learning from each other. And so yeah, we'll see. I don't think I want a cattle dog just because they're so freaking crazy. And I feel like if they're not herding cattle, they're honestly not happy, because they're always trying to herd you or always trying to get you to throw the ball. And it's really hard to find a good cattle dog that is a good companion and is not a crazy asshole. Mostly all the ones that I know are assholes and they're aggressive around other dogs and stuff. So we're going to start, you know, in that area and see what comes forth. But, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to something. You know, one day I'm just walking down the road and then I see these pop-up puppy adoption things and, you know, my heart just gets grabbed by one of the puppies. Like, I'm not opposed to that, but really researching what breeds are best for my personality and my lifestyle, because it's cold here part of the year. I still like to go out on hikes and stuff when it's cold through the snow. So this dog has to be like a badass dog, and yeah, it's just got to be the right dog. So it's kind of what's been going on in my life. Nothing else crazy. I'm still working at Ben Battery, installing systems. It looks like I'm going to be there for a while, which is cool to actually have a home base now. You know, I did my first year living in Bend when I moved in the apartment. I was building out vans in the garage. But I was always, you know, I was always so in my own world. I was focused on my business. I would be working all day and night. I would never go out. It's like now I can just go into work, clock in, clock out, and I could start doing other shit. Thinking about training again. I used to train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I started training in high school. I started wrestling when I was 4 years old. So I'm no slouch on the mat or with grappling. I trained at this one place for a few years, and then I got injured. My hand got injured, and I stopped training. And I never got back into it. And I watch grappling videos, and you know, I follow MMA very close. And I'm just like at that point in my life now where I'm just like, I have time, and I'm like, dude, you really need to like start training again. Get your belt up, you know, eventually get to the point where I can be a coach and, you know, teach classes and stuff, which would be pretty cool. But yeah, I trained Muay Thai, flow boxing and all that stuff. But I really love jiu-jitsu. I don't know if I want to train gi anymore. I trained gi for, I got, you know, at least 2 or 3 years under my belt with training gi. And because I have a background with wrestling, and I just think no-gi grappling is just more up my alley. I don't watch gi on videos or anything like that. I don't watch, like, World's Gi or anything like that. I'm always following, like, the 10th Planet guys and you know, no-gi jiu-jitsu has really taken over in the last couple years, and I think that's the direction I'm going to go. But also going to be focusing on snowboarding this winter too, at least getting out to the mountain once or twice a week. Last year I missed the season because I was in Colorado and Arizona, and then the year before that I had a season pass to the mountain, and I was always getting up there, which was awesome. I would, like, this was my day. I'd wake up, I'd be outside in the morning, be working, and then after 12 I would start wrapping the day up, and then I would get into my 96 Chevy pickup truck, which is my favorite thing in the world. I sold it. I wish I never sold it. Had the awesome cab on the back, and it was just like the greatest freaking four-wheel drive truck ever. The four-wheel drive was a little bit of broken. You had to go in reverse and then go forward to get it working, but awesome truck. Throw my snowboard in the back. Millie would hang out in the front seat. I'd pull up to the mountain. I'd get out. I'd do like two or three runs. I'd come back down, hang out with Millie, go back up, do a couple more runs, and then I'd come back down and I'd go home for the day. And it would be like 70 degrees out on the mountain, just sunny, and just like, I remember just being on the ski lift and being like, I cannot believe I live this life. I truly am blessed to be able to work and then go snowboarding like this in the afternoon. So we're gonna be focusing on that. Yeah, just really really connecting with Bend and not acting like I'm in and out anymore. You know, it was just like I would come in and then I would leave, and then I would come in and then I would leave, and this always would be like my home base. But now I'm really gonna put some roots down here, it looks like, which is, you know, cool in my opinion. But anyway, my congestion is feeling a little bit better from the ibuprofen. Is not relieving my nose congestion at all, but I don't think that's what it was for. I think it was just like the headache thing. So I'm gonna clean up the bus, start that baby up, and then I think I'm gonna go into town, get some medicine, and I think I'm actually gonna go get a hotel room for the night, just to kind of give myself, you know, some. I want to get in the shower and stuff. Like, for me to take a shower out here, I gotta pull my generator out of the back because I don't have my propane shower yet. That will be installed within the next couple weeks. So I'll have hot water on demand at all times. But yeah, I got to take out my generator in the back, hook it up to the water heater, run it for like 30 to 40 minutes, and then I can take a shower. And it's only like, you know, a 5-minute solid shower of the water running constantly. So you're turning it off in between, like wet yourself, soap yourself down, wet yourself. And then like the last 2 minutes, you're just like under the water the whole time. And, so it's not like the greatest shower. I literally just want to get into a hotel right now, just sit on the floor and just let the hot steaming shower go over my body. Yeah. And, you know, using the bathroom kind of sucks. I got to go outside and it just snowed last night. And like, I just need to give myself a little bit of time to heal. So I haven't gotten a hotel room in, gosh, we're going on just shy of a year now. So I think it's time to treat myself. So I think that's what I'm going to do today. And I'm probably going to make some homemade soup also while I'm in this hotel room, because I don't like canned soup, too much sodium and crap. So we're going to make some homemade soup on the stove at the hotel room and just relax and let my body heal, and hopefully I'll be able to go to work tomorrow. Gonna make that decision tonight, because I don't want to get other people sick too and then be that guy. So we're gonna see in the morning. We're gonna wrap this podcast up. We're just shy of 40 minutes. Perfect timing. Thank you guys for listening, and just know that everything is a choice. It truly is. You can let something affect you till the day you die, or you can flip the script on something and be like, you know what, this terrible thing happened to me. You know, I lost this person in my life. I lost this in my life, but I'm going to use it to help other people, and I'm going to use it for good. I'm not going to use it for bad. I'm not going to wear it as a badge and use it as an excuse of why I'm not where I should be in life. Instead of use it as fuel to get to where you should be in life. Just know that it's always a choice. It really is. You know? And I know people have some circumstances and stuff that prevent them from, you know, these things, but everybody's journey is different. Like, somebody could be paralyzed, you know. It's like, how does my message come across to somebody that's paralyzed? It's like, I can't even skim the surface on what they're going through. Like, so, like, know that I'm not talking about everything in all situations, but most situations, like my situation with my car accident, like, I could have used that. I could have easily become a drug addict and went down that road to numb my pain and then have all this bullshit in my life. Easily could have done that. But I chose to stick it out and make something of myself. And, you know, I always had dreams of talking on a stage as like a public speaker and helping people and telling my story. But now I do it through my podcast. So you don't have to live in it. You can live with it, but you don't have to live in that darkness. Just know it's a choice, and you can crawl out if you want to. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.